On the Fly with Jaymon G, roving the grounds of Oshkosh, covering air venture A to Z. In Warbirds, in ultralights, down on the farm, at the museum and Pioneer Airport, at the seaplane base, over at the Vintage Red Barn, at the EAA Air Academy, at the Aviation Learning Center, at Lightsport. On the Fly is on the air. And now, your host, Jaymon G.
Jaymon G, good afternoon. We're down at Warbirds and we're on the fly. It's a beautiful day. It's Wednesday here at Warbirds. If you're listening on EAA Radio, AM 1210, 93.1 FM, or airventure.org on the web, it is now Thursday at about 12 noon. We're joined this afternoon by Bill Harrison, who is a director of Warbirds of America, an EAA organization within the organization. Good afternoon, Bill.
Good afternoon.
And what a nice time down here in Warbirds, and what a bunch of beautiful airplanes. How many airplanes do we have down here so far, Bill?
We have 318 as of today. Last year, we had 370 at this time. Considering the economy, the cost of fuel and everything, that's pretty good. But the main thing is we have a broad variety of really beautifully restored military aircraft.
Yes, I can see that. And they're all shiny and polished and being very well taken care of down here in Warbirds.
Lots of hours of work go into these airplanes.
What kind of activities do you have going down on this end of the field?
Well, we have a lot of things going on. Of course, we have the air show and that sort of thing. But in addition to that, for the benefit of the public, we have a training command display in a large tent over on the north side of our headquarters, which has examples of Link trainers, for instance, and other training items, as well as some of the airplanes that were used as the early trainers. And then every day we have programs called Warbirds in Review. There are two sessions, one in the morning at 10, and then the others at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, where we pick certain aircraft, try to find someone who flew it or someone who owns it, who knows it, to talk about it. It's really a good program. It's been well received. It's a way of introducing to the public to what we do and what we are. If it weren't for the heroes who preceded us, we wouldn't have any basis for existence.
Oh, that's right. And boy, it's goosebump material. Gives you goosebumps just walking around them.
Well, I've been doing this for 40 years and it still gives me goosebumps.
When do you start setting up down in the area here?
We'll start the day after this is over, preparing for next year. It's a long process. We're very fortunate that in EAA Warbirds, we have developed a chapter organization which puts chapters all over the United States. And so we have a lot of local fairly local chapters in Wisconsin and Illinois who can come up here and help on the grounds, preparing the grounds and get it all ready to go.
So tell us a little bit about, for our listeners, some things that people might not know about Warbirds. I noticed driving around down here yesterday, you have a lot of different areas. You have a lot of different things going on down here. Tell us a little bit about the variety of activities going on.
When Warbirds first started, it started in 1964 on the ramps at Reno during the air races, and it included only high-performance piston-powered fighters. As time has gone on, we've expanded the organization to include all military aircraft from the various generations and up to and including the Vietnam aircraft, including helicopters. So we have a little bit of everything. In addition to that, we now, for those who are interested, we have a reenactors group which sets up a regular encampment just a short distance from where we are. And they live there, they camp there, they have all sorts of things, including what's called a Quad 50. It's a stationary mount, 50 caliber machine gun that rotates up, goes up and down. Well, we can't shoot it here, but if you ever get a chance to see one shoot, it can literally cut down a tree.
Wow. So that's probably that area I drove by yesterday, that they're in period clothing.
That's
uniforms.
It.
I saw a tank was trying to head me off here yesterday.
Yep.
I think he was going to win.
We appreciate the reenactors because, if you'll notice, they put on wool clothes, which were period, and they endure the same heat that we do. They don't have air conditioning in their tents, and they love it, and we really love having them.
So other than that, what else goes on? You have activities through the day here as well, don't you?
Tomorrow is our forum day, which for the people on the air, it'll be Thursday, where we have multiple forums on fighters, bombers, T-28s, T-6s, and various things like that.
What time do your forums start?
9 o'clock through the day.
So folks will be listening to this at 12 noon on Thursday. They can come on down, and there'll be stuff going on still.
there will still be forums going on. And there's a lot of things that are going on that are subtle. We used to do some formation training at Oshkosh, but it's just too busy. Airspace is too busy, which is good. That means a lot of people are here, but that's done elsewhere. Most of the groups, the T-34s, the T-28s, which, by the way, this is their 60th anniversary, and the T-6s also do formation training at cities around this area to prepare for Oshkosh, and then they arrive, most of them arrive on Sunday or Monday.
You folks will be flying big time in the air show this weekend, I know. You participate, you have a couple of days where you participate pretty heavily in the air show. What are those?
Friday and Saturday are our big days. Thursday, which would be the day our listeners are enduring, we don't do much of an air show. There will be one today on Wednesday, but it is not as heavily populated as the later air shows.
And Friday and Saturday, we reenact a lot of things out on the flight line, the wall of fire, and
and
that's always exciting.
And I didn't mention, we have a lot of jets now to put on a pretty good show. They've trained them. They either were military trained in formation or were civilian trained in formation flying, and so they put on a pretty good show. For the younger generation, they don't understand what a propeller really is, so they like the jets, particularly the kids.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the structure of Warbirds. You're a director. How does it work? I know that we have a staff member from EAA who facilitates for you. That would be Bill Fisher. And then how does the structure work down below that?
When we say Warbirds, we're really talking about the EAA Warbirds of America. We're a division of EAA, and we are the mutual support syndrome. We support EAA, EAA supports us. We are EAA. Most of our members enjoy every kind of airplane. And I live on an airport in Tulsa that has nothing but small home-built airplanes. And I think they're fun, too.
Oh, sure they are. So then you have directors, and then how does it go down from there?
Well, you mentioned Bill Fisher, who's our executive director. And then we have a secretary, Midge Fisher. They're not related, but who helps administer the activities. We elect Class 1 directors. Then we have some appointed Class 2 directors. Class 1 directors vote, and Class 2 directors don't. We use Class 2 as a training ground for the Class 1 directors. And we make most of our own decisions. They have to be compatible with what's going on at the EAA. So we maintain close contact through Bill and others. I was on the EAA board for a number of years, and so we work closely together. Our president is Rick Siegfried, and then under him we have officers and directors who perform their tasks.
Yeah, we'll be talking to Rick, as a matter of fact, later in the hour. We have a little bit more time with you, Bill. Is there anything down here in Warbirds that you would like to tell our listeners about? Anything that's really super special this year?
Well, for those of us who are members, the super special thing is our food kitchen.
Okay.
We have a great kitchen for our members that's manned by volunteer ladies, and we added on to it. In fact, we more than doubled it in size, and it's donations and various things that keep it going. So we like it, but we like all the airplanes. Fortunately, there's something here for everyone. There are liaison airplanes in the back, the small so-called Piper Cubs. Only a few of them were really Piper Cubs. The others were built by Taylor Craft, Aronca, Stinson, even Consolidated. Volte built one. So, and you'll see some of the push-pulls that were in the movie Bat 20.
Bat 21. Yeah. It's actually at the theater over in Camp Scholar.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, I think.
Right.
Which would be Thursday night, so it'd be tonight for our listeners.
Yeah, that's where, if you haven't seen it, it's a really good movie.
Yeah, and that is a Cessna Skymaster 337 that he flies.
That's correct. It actually was just an almost off-the-shelf Skymaster, strengthened a bit and equipped with primarily rockets for marking targets. And it replaced the L-19/01, which was a single-engine airplane that did the same thing. And it was a Korean vintage airplane.
I, for work, regularly go to Vietnam and in Saigon, Ho Chi Minh City now. There's still one sitting over at the museum, a 337 and a Cessna 185 also.
Yeah.
In the original military colors, and they're in pretty rough shape, but they sit there all the same. As
well,
a reminder,
airplanes that sit out get to be in rough shape,
especially in
quickly.
That climate.
Yes,
it's
indeed.
Like being in the jungle. Well, Bill, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon and having us down here in Warbirds. We certainly, every year, we love to come down and talk to you folks and see this side of the world.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. I've been in the Warbirds for 40 years. I've been president, director, past president, vice, a little bit of everything. I love it. And what I really like is the people. We come here because, Paul Pobresny says this, we come here because of the airplanes, but we will come back because of the people. Somebody had to shoot a machine gun or something.
Oh, I don't know. We're in Warbirds. Something might have happened. Well, thanks much. J-Mont G, we're on the fly. We're down in Warbirds. You're listening to EAA Radio AM 1210, 93.1 on the FM, and on the web at airventure.org. We'll be right back.